It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to Health Media Now with award-winning author and host Denise Messenger for a lifetime of health empowerment. Live by being in the pink, meaning P stands for being persistent, I stands for using your intuition, N stands for networking, and K stands for obtaining knowledge. Our guests entertain and share cutting-edge information. They share with you what may have taken years to achieve through experience in their field. Become inspired and motivated. Reach your full potential with fascinating tips and products. Receive a lifetime of benefits from authors, doctors, practitioners, healthcare providers, and learn about exciting new products. You asked for it, and we deliver. Now, here's your host, Denise Messenger.
Welcome, listeners. We're so happy that you've joined us today, which is March 21st, 2018. I'm very happy to present to you today a wonderful guest. Her name is Andrea Lieberstein, and she's the author of a best-selling book called Well-Nourished Mindful Practices to Heal Your Relationship to Food, Feed Your Whole Self, and End Overeating. So we're going to be covering her book in detail today. I wanted to give you a little background on Andrea. She's a mindfulness and mindful eating expert. She's a speaker, and she's a registered dietitian, nutritionist. She's a meditation teacher. She's a trainer and a champion for leading a well-nourished life. So let's bring her onto our show now. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Denise. Happy to be here today.
I always like to start my show out by asking, how did you get on the path that you're on today? It's always something that's very interesting for our listeners to hear about.
Yeah, so really how I got on my path started back in high school and college when I became interested in that whole idea of what is a well-nourished life and an optimal life and both mind, body, and spirit. And I was interested in nutrition and also meditation. All the way back then, when it wasn't as mainstream as it is now, you know, in healthcare and businesses and schools, there's some wonderful programs mm-hmm. out there now with that. And so that personal interest and seeing how practices such as yoga and meditation and eating well really contributed to my life in a big way, how much better I felt. And so I started my path in learning about nutrition and public health. I actually have a degree in public health nutrition, and then moved into going into public health school and having a very wonderful job at Kaiser Permanente for many years, great career of over 20 years, helping to bring in mind-body programs and mindfulness programs. I was trained in Jon Kabat-Zinn's mindfulness-based stress reduction program. Your listeners, many may have heard about him. You've probably had someone come in and talk about MBSR. In 1993, I was trained in his first 9-day program for teachers, and I brought back that program to Kaiser and helped to to get that program implemented in many different facilities in Northern California. And just over the years, I had a really very rich career in helping to bring in, be that bridge, because I was personally practicing, you know, all of these things, the mind-body approaches, meditation, when it wasn't yet mainstream in so many medical centers. So just helping to be that bridge and bringing in these programs, evaluating them, training others how to implement these programs. And then moving into 2009, I was able to bring my background as a mindfulness meditation teacher and my background and experience as a registered dietitian together in the most beautiful way with being hired to be an instructor and a consultant in a mindful eating study in the San Francisco Bay Area, an NIH-funded study. So that kind of changed everything.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how kind of one thing just rolled into another, into another, into another.
Yes, yes, kind of seamlessly, and opportunities arising. And then I found that I just loved this work. It was such a wonderful bringing together of my, you know, skills and talents and gifts and interests, and then seeing how transforming it was for the people in the study, you know, this approach. And so I began to focus. I had a small private practice and outside of Kaiser, and I began to focus more and more on eating issues, mindful eating, helping people with their struggle with food, which really involves mind and body and emotions and so much more. It's not just, here, follow this diet. And then my work just evolved over the last years. I became a teacher trainer in mindful eating, so training other professionals and working, just having a really rich practice and finding that I needed to go beyond with my clients, beyond just that relationship with food, having that healthy relationship. And actually, Denise, did you mention the name of the book?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
you did.
I did.
Okay, because it's in there, right? So, in order to heal relationship with food, again, it really involves our whole selves and our whole lives, and so I began to bring more and more into my coaching, and looking at how do we have a nourished life and nourish our whole selves, because a lot of times the overeating. It's complex. There can be many reasons, but it can also be making up a lack for other parts of one's life, knowing how to nourish, how to work with challenging and painful emotions and difficult thoughts. So I call that, you know, our emotional body, our psychological body. In my book, we talk about the 8 bodies that need nourishment. And so anyway, that's how I kind of in a nutshell. There were so many other in any life path, so many other stops along the way. But just been really excited to bring out my first book in July, and with a publisher who found me, and just combining and being able to offer all these years of experience and wisdom, and just helping transform other people's lives as well.
Well, it's interesting how you've integrated psychology into your whole program.
Yes, it's really an integral part of it. And, I mean, interesting that you say that, too, because I come from a family of therapists and psychologists. All the women in my family. So I grew up in this. Reading books on our coffee room table as my mother went back to school to be a therapist when I was in my teen years. So I got a great, just kind of a very early introduction. And then I actually worked in the psychiatry department at Kaiser, in the behavioral medicine department. So
yeah, I knew it had to come from somewhere because you didn't have the formal training in it. So I was trying to figure out, you know, where all this wisdom came from. And that's really fascinating.
And years of being a mindfulness teacher and practitioner, because, you know, there's this whole part of mindfulness practice is it's informed by Buddhist psychology.
So, really? Really?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, it's a way of, it's a whole philosophy and approach and way of working with suffering. So one of the intentions and goals of it is how do we reduce suffering in our lives, and how do we find peace and balance and in the midst of what we recognize as changing circumstances, that nothing is permanent. So there's that recognition as we begin to work, you know, with mindfulness, and we begin to practice. One of those first steps is beginning to start a formal practice of meditation, getting to know our minds and see how impermanent everything is, the feelings, the thoughts that come and go, life circumstances. You know, so much of our suffering is trying to grab onto things and keep things the same, or having expectations. But just that recognition that life is change. And then how do we meet each moment with kindness, with clarity, with presence, and just be able to navigate, you know, what arises easefully. So, you know, with food, there are so many, can be such a loaded area, and along with, so it's not just, oh, I'm eating my breakfast or what I'm going to choose for lunch, but a whole host of judgments and, you know, self-criticism and judgments of body image, and not knowing what to choose to eat, maybe being so out of touch or dysregulated with their own bodies from dieting culture, right? And, you know, try this and try that and eat just this amount, and losing touch with what's really happening. So mindfulness offers a wonderful way to be in touch and tuned in to our bodies, to our emotions, to our thoughts, and make choices that are based on our most caring intentions for ourselves. Mm. And, you know, have tools to do so. So yeah, there's ways to work with thoughts and feelings, and it's just such a vast and rich area. And yeah.
Well, listeners, we're talking with Andrea Lieberstein, and she's the author of the best-selling book, Well-Nourished Mindful Practices to Heal Your Relationship to Food, Feed Your Whole Self, and End Overeating. So when we talk about the well-nourished approach for mindful eating and living, basically,
can we talk
about what's on your mind, I guess, relative to that. I mean, you've kind of given us a whole background on everything. But
yeah.
But truly, what is it, you know?
Yeah, so that the well-nourished approach definitely integrates a lot of mindfulness approaches and philosophy and way of working. But it starts out with looking at our relationship to food. Are we, and just, there's a lot of inquiry in the book, self-reflection. So there's a lot of questions to ask ourselves, in each chapter to get a sense of what is our relationship with food? And
so
what
do you
is
have
our,
questions in there? Do you have questions
I do.
In the book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Chapter by chapter?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah. It's a workbook
style. It's a workbook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it has some beautiful illustrations. And in fact, the publisher is known for their beautifully illustrated books. They'd love me to put that plug in, but it's true. Fairwinds Press, who makes it lovely books. But then the first thing when people pick up this book, they say, oh, it feels so good, the paper, and it's so beautiful. And I'm always thinking, well, the words, that's what I spent, you know, a year on. But that's the first thing, the first response. It is very beautifully laid out. And so the first part, part one, is just introducing to this idea of what is our relationship to food, and are we turning to food to substitute for comfort or to numb out, to not feel difficult feelings?
Yes, yes,
and yes. Yeah. Times of stress.
Chocolate.
Yes. To so many degrees, you know, that this is common for so many people. And then then for others, it just gets really out of control. And there's
true.
Kind of hidden episodes of overeating and feeling really bad about it emotionally, and a lot of shame and guilt, and also not feeling well in the body. So this, there's techniques in here, mindful eating techniques that are based on evidence. And I know all listeners aren't necessarily familiar with that term, evidence-based, but as health practitioners, we use that term all the time. But based on research and evidence, clinical evidence, these practices really help to, been shown to help to reduce overeating, to reduce binge eating significantly, to help people become less fixated and obsessed, and just have tools to really begin to enjoy food and putting it back in its place, where to be really a source of nourishment and joy and pleasure, and not what, just something. Yeah.
What would be one of them?
One of the tools?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them is, well, there's so many, but one is first bringing awareness and looking what is our relationship to food, and are we using it to substitute for other skills that we may not have or know, because we aren't taught these things in school necessarily. How do we work with really challenging feelings or when we're stressed? So on the most basic level is we teach mindfulness meditation, a way to just begin to become aware of what's happening in the moment, bringing presence, bringing attention to the moment, by attention to the breath, to the body. Taking a few deep relaxing breaths is helpful. And just that pause, that mindful pause, I call it a mindful check-in in my book, mindful pause. Just taking that pause, getting out of automatic pilot, getting out of being really kind of pushed around, in a sense, by our thoughts and our feelings. We don't pause. We often have automatic reactions, right? We just reach for that donut that might be in the staff room or that hidden chocolate bar and end up eating more than we want. So there's that, it's that mindful
pause. Yeah, so the
pause.
Meditation part, so the meditation keeps you from getting that donut.
It helps bring awareness to what's happening. Helps bring awareness to, oh, wow, I'm feeling stressed right now in my body. And, oh, I'm thinking about that deadline that I have, or maybe that argument that I just got into, or whatever it might be, noticing what's present. And what happens so often is that we just tend to react when we're feeling uncomfortable without even noticing or looking into what's going on. And we might go to the, if it's food that we go to, we just might go to that, open up the refrigerator to feel better. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's binge watching TV shows or drinking. But this is a tool first to bring awareness. And in my book, there are 5 steps to mindful eating and living. And so that first step is awareness. So it's answering questions, getting familiar with what are our habits around food and these other areas of our lives. And then this tool, this mindful check-in, this mindful pause, we can notice what's present. What are we bringing to the table? I talk a lot about that. What are we bringing to the table? and what is helpful, what is informing our moment, and what is not helpful. Can I let go of this thought and just see it simply as a thought right now? Or take a few breaths, offer, noticing that I'm feeling stressed, take a few deep relaxing breaths, offer myself some kindness, some compassion. What do I really need right now? So then asking ourselves that question, what is it that I truly need? Am I really hungry? Am I physically hungry? Do I need this moment? And what's nice about the mindful eating practices is that we're not doing a whole nother set of rules like a diet, which so many people are used to going, trying this diet and then that diet. So it doesn't mean you can't ever eat or never eat. I should say when you're not hungry. It doesn't mean you can't ever have chocolate. But just, is this what I really want right now? Or is there something else? Maybe I need to be nourished in some other way. Maybe that would serve me better, my social body or in my emotional body. And the framework that I use is, as I said, the 8 bodies. Or maybe with the mindful eating practices I've learned, I am going to have that chocolate. But I'm just going to have a piece. I don't need the whole thing. I'm just going to really save
just
now.
Just have a piece. I love it.
Yes. Excuse me. Yeah. Can I really savor it and enjoy it? So mindfulness is a lot about becoming present,
mm-hmm.
you know, really showing up fully to the moments of our life. So we can show up fully to those choice points, those many choice points that we have during the day. And around food, there was some research that showed that we probably have over 200 choices during the day around food decisions, many that are below our awareness. We're not even conscious of them. So just bringing awareness to some of these decisions when we are getting triggered, maybe externally from food, yeah, can make
a big
difference.
You talk a lot about, you know, what are you truly hungry for? How do you answer that question?
Well, tuning, it varies. It depends. How does one answer that question in the moment? Checking in. And you can use the framework in the book, which is really helpful. And it's the way also that I work with many clients, and they find it really useful to go through, you know, knowing these 8 different realms or parts of ourselves. You know, is it social nourishment? Am I really just wishing to connect with someone else right now? Or with myself? Maybe I just need to take a few breaths and come back to myself. Calm the mind. Mindfulness, by the way, doesn't mean, a lot of people think that it means, particularly the meditative part of mindfulness, the formal practice of meditation, that it means that we make our thoughts go away. Well, we might end up with a more spacious and quieter mind. We might not be as reactive and disturbed by the thoughts, but they do. We do. Thoughts come and go. They come and go. So in this more spacious place of this mindful pause, this mindful check-in, yeah, we can. There's many ways. I mean, you might just know, just check in, or you might go through these different bodies and, you know, what am I needing right now? Maybe I just need some emotional nourishment right now. And so there are so many different tools and practices that we can use based on mindfulness and cognitive behavioral approaches and self-compassion, approaches we can use to nourish ourselves emotionally in the moment so we don't have to turn to food to fill that need. It might be something, you know, bigger. There's other forms of nourishment that if we're overall feeding ourselves, and again, in the title, one of the subtitle, one of the phrases is feeding our whole self. So if we're feeding ourselves creatively, spiritually, we're going to, in general, feel more fulfilled. So this overall sense of fulfillment with our lives. And again, we might not turn to food as quickly for fulfillment if, in general, we're feeling that sense of fulfillment.
Yeah, so
yeah,
what you're really bringing to the table is the fact that as an individual, I gather that we need to become more centered, more in touch with ourselves relative to how we're feeling in the moment in order to be more mindful relative to turning to food. I don't know if, you know, planning out your food for the day is a good thing to do or not, because then you're kind of getting into the weight management versus what our subject matter is. Am I right or wrong on that?
Oh, it's a great question, and you're sensitive to that mindful eating doesn't necessarily mean weight management at all, but it's conscious eating and eating in a way that often naturally people will come to a more balanced weight as they tune more in to their needs, but and stop emotional eating or greatly decrease emotional eating, stress-related eating, any of that. But it also includes what we eat, you know, bringing awareness to how do we want to nourish ourselves, what is the best way of eating for me, given what I know about nutrition information, the latest evidence-based approaches. And, you know, in my book, I do a little summary. We know that nutrition research, it changes, it flips. But there is enough, we know enough that a whole foods, plant-based diet is really healthy. You know, one of the best ways to go for us. It doesn't mean you have to give up animal products at all, but overall in the balance. So just knowing your own preferences, how food, bringing mindfulness and awareness to notice how you feel with eating different types of foods, you can make your choices from an empowered place and not from a specific outside prescription, but what works for your body.
Yeah, well, you know, what's really great about your book is that, as we talked earlier, you know, there's the psychology involved, there's the spiritual part involved with every human being. And if you can bring those together, you become more grounded, more conscious of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, nourishment and food is a big part of our lives. So if you can pull up all that together, you become a much healthier person mentally and physically.
Yes. And one thing kind of feeds on the other. When we start to make better choices in one area, put our attention in any of these areas and start to be more fulfilled or nourished, kind of it flows over into the other areas, and there's a lot of overlap too. Yeah, and one more thing about planning ahead. Sure, you know, it can be very helpful to plan ahead, because if we don't plan ahead what we're going to eat, if we love to cook, maybe the delicious meals we're going to make and then the food ingredients we need to buy and planning ahead to get to the store to do that, then you end up like with an empty kitchen, right, or refrigerator, and I'm starving. What am I going to eat now? And just eating whatever, or going out to a meal when you didn't really want to eat out that night, or, you know, buying something on the way home. So planning ahead is very helpful, and very helpful in overall. It's really part of mindfulness. You know, what do you want your meals to look like? What do you want your meals to look like? And it's going to look different for each person. Some people like to make a plan ahead for a week. Some people like to have several trips over, you know, the week to the farmer's market,
mm-hmm.
or some people just, it's okay with them to eat out more, but we can also mindfully eat out. And that's,
mm-hmm.
I talk about that in my book too. How do we do mindful restaurant eating?
Oh,
so,
that's great.
Yeah, so we can bring it into all aspects. Yeah.
Well, you've really covered the gamut in your book. You really have. You've done a fabulous job of that.
Well, thank you so much. And it's been really fun to use this. I find that I'm using it more and more in my own life as well. It's just a great framework. You know, when I finished the book, it's quite time intensive for, you know, any authors out there, you know that there's a lot of time. And when you're working with publishing companies, there's deadlines. And so certain areas of my life needed to go. And, my social nourishment and just being spontaneous, being able to go to fun activities and having full weekends planned, I wasn't able to do that.
No, you weren't.
For quite a while. And so I was really, yeah, and I'm so happy on this end of it because I consciously decided my social nourishment, my social body, I really going to put some attention there. And it's just, you know, really when we put attention on wherever we put our attention, energy flows and our life can transform in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put a lot of attention there and I'm just, you know, I'm having so much fun.
Oh, I'm so glad.
You know, it's so great. You know, certainly reconnected big time with all my dear friends and many new friends and, you know, great activities. And I also wanted to focus on my creative body more. That was one of my favorite chapters in the book. So much fun because so many of us have left our creative bodies behind more expressing that more when we were children. So, then just bringing in more creative activities and then creative activities overlap often with the social nourishment, social body. A lot are done socially, not all. But so I'm trying to give a picture, right, of how they all overlap. And it's so much fun to think about and do this assessment. Well, what parts of my life am I missing right now that could use more nourishment and fulfillment? And so then in the book, I have lots of activities and ideas and suggestions and all formatted in sound behavioral science. Like, how do we make sustainable changes in our lives without getting overwhelmed? And what really works? Because it's easy to get overwhelmed if we want to make changes. So, yeah, so it's been fun, and I love... really love bringing this work and teaching others. I lead workshops in the well-nourished approach, mindful eating, and I work with clients, and just so great to see those transformations happening.
Well, you've been an absolute wealth of information about your book. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can buy it?
Okay. Yeah, so you can buy it on Amazon. Just look for Well Nourished, Andrea Lieberstein. And you can also read about it. You can go to my website and get the link
what is the
there.
Website? What's the website?
My website is yourwellnourishedlife.com.
Isn't that a great
well-nourished
title?
Life. Thank you. Yeah, and on my website, when you buy the book, you can go back and you can download worksheets. There's some recordings on there, so there's some book tools that can help support your use of the book.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So that's available, and then people can find out about my schedule if they're interested in learning in person or virtually, you know, how to getting the support to make these shifts in their lives. And then I also have a Facebook page called Your Well-Nourished Life.
Well, thank you, Andrea Lieberstein. You've been absolutely delightful.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Denise. And I hope that you enjoy, really let yourself enjoy that piece of chocolate next time. And
No doubt about that.
Turn our attention fully, it's quite interesting what can happen. We can find we become satisfied with much less. It's a little process to get there, but rewarding. So thank you, Denise, so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you again. It was really a great interview.
Great. Thank you so much. Should we say the name? Should we say the name of the full book? I know in a lot of interviews
absolutely.
At the end.
Sure.
Just in case.
Go ahead.
So Well-Nourished, Mindful Practices to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Feed Your Whole Self, and End Overeating. And then
Andrea,
you can connect with me. Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you
again. Take care.
Thank you, Denise. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, listeners, that wraps up our show for today. A wonderful show at that. Please tune in again next Wednesday. We'll have another great, great guest for you. As always, we never disappoint. And until then, please be well. Bye-bye.
We celebrate our listeners worldwide and invite you to contact Denise at www.healthmedianow.com with any questions you may have, and follow her on Twitter at Health Media Now and Facebook at Health Media Now. For those interested in an advertising campaign on her show, contact Lisa at knowledgeworkspub.com. Be sure to visit gotcancernowwhat.com for information on Denise Messenger's award-winning book, Got Cancer, Now What?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.